Hello and welcome to Banter, the Radio 4 panel game where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. I'm Andrew Collins, and joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from Men in Black to The Woman in White are Natalie Haynes.
Hello.
Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
How do you do?
And Arthur Smith.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of these four categories, one by one, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and for getting any of my personal favourites, which they don't know, at which you'll hear this. And remember, as long as you're under my roof, I'm in charge. So, like the person who has to paint the Queen onto fake banknotes, let's forge ahead with our first top three. Okay, our first category is your top three mythological beasts. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Arthur Smith. So if you'd sit this one out, please, Arthur.
I'll be down in Brighton.
Okay, we'll give you a shout. And Richard Herring, would you like to start us off, please? Your top three mythological beasts?
Well, you know, sport for choice. I did a show about Hercules, so I do know quite a lot about the mythological creatures he killed. There was the Hydra, which is a nine-headed swamp creature. Cerberus, he captured a three-headed dog. Geryon's cattle he stole. Geryon was a monster with three heads and three pairs of legs, which makes you wonder if it was just three blokes standing quite close together. There's a theme running through the Hercules monsters, though. A lot of heads they've got. It's like whoever made up went, what should we do for the next monster? Should we give it loads of heads like we have done in all the other stories? No, people won't be scared of that now, will they? What about six eyes? No, that's not scary. Three pancreases? No. Well, that's stupid because the pancreas is internal, so that's...
Like you know the pancreas? Actually, I'm meant to be sitting this out.
You can
whisper
say
it to me.
Yeah, all right.
The pancreas.
It's between Euston and King's Cross.
It's between Euston and King's Cross.
Wasn't Cerberus, can he, just by looking at him, people turn to stone? Is
no,
that
that's
Medusa,
a Medusa.
A Gorgon. Oh,
thinking of a Gorgon.
Damn internet.
Natalie.
Well, I guess I would propose anything Ray Harryhausen ever made out of plywood and clay. So the skeleton warriors, I think, in Jason and the Argonauts.
Oh, they are scary.
The harpies, the Pegasus. Oh, the big bronze giant who was called Talos but had an Achilles heel. I'm quite a fan of Scylla and Charybdis as well. Scylla, it's like a dog lady, I think. And then she eats some sailors. And if you sail too near to her, eaten sailors. But if you go the other way, Charybdis, the evil maelstrom. And I especially like Scylla and Charybdis because I think that they appear in the lyrics of a fairly shonky police song. Oh, yes, hooray! Where he manages to rhyme apprentice with Scylla and Charybdis. Credit where it's due. That is stylish scansion.
It is.
Shonky's a good word, isn't
Thank
it?
Thank you very much.
I haven't heard that before. That's going in.
Can I give a point to Natalie for mentioning the police? So are there any others outside of Greek mythology you might like to bring into
well,
the equation?
Oh, the Smurf.
Yeah, the Smurf.
I don't It's the not Smurf. A monster, and it's not mythological.
It is so.
It's having that. Smurf's fine.
It is so.
Go
monster.
On, why?
Because of the racist subtext behind the creation of the Smurfs. There's only one black Smurf in the history of Smurfdom. And they made a toy of it. I own this toy. It's got horrible red demon eyes. It's in a cage. Now, I consider that slightly racist.
Are well, there actually then. Any white Smurfs, though? Because that's racist.
Just
they're
blue
all
ones.
They're all blue, aren't they?
That is blue supremacism, isn't it?
It is blue supremacism.
In action.
What about mermaids? Are we allowed them?
You can have them, yeah.
They're the sexiest of all the beasts, I'd say. Daryl Hannah. Oof, changed my world. I had to be moved along from the fish counter every time I went to Tesco. And there's another one called like sirens, but apparently all it was like sort of sea otters.
Very not just crazy. Sea otters. No. Sea otters that could sing really well.
No, but apparently it was just randy pirates. Just who'd been away for ages, going, oh, take me to the rocks. Oh, Brutus, it's a sea otter. No, it's a woman. No, we'll crash again. We crashed before. Oh, look at her. Oh.
Do wombles count?
I don't think they do. They're not mythological. They're probably real.
If you were in a band, that's true.
Were they in a band? What band was that?
The Wombles.
We Wish You a Wombling Merry Christmas was the first single I ever bought.
Mine was an SL2 on a ragga tip. It was rave. It was a different time. Just put on your global hypercolour t-shirt, press play, and let things happen.
I'm going to give you a point, Russell, for mentioning global hypercolour t-shirts. I've forgotten all about them, I really have.
What about werewolves? We love them.
Werewolf is a good mythological beast. Are you just trying to guess my one now?
If you like.
Loch Ness Monster.
No, not
the Yeti. Vampire.
No, Cyclops.
A unicorn.
Yes! 5 points.
Yes, justice.
A little bit of advice.
Never leap from a unicorn.
I don't like all unicorns. I just like the pink, cuddly one that I saw on sale in a market stall in Kingston just before Christmas. And a kid saw the unicorn and hit its horn really hard. And I thought, that's the state of the nation.
I kind of find, I think... I don't think unicorns are a very good mythological creature because they're just a horse with a horn. It's not that great. That's Pegasus. No. The unicorns can't fly.
No, they can't.
Well, the stories I've read, they're always flying.
No, you're thinking of Pegasus.
No, I'm not. never heard of the guy.
Time is definitely up on this topic. I'm going to have to ask you all for your final top threes. Russell?
I'll have werewolf, Cyclops, and Mum-Ra the Ever-Living.
Kept that quiet. Yeah. Natalie, what have you ended up with?
Scylla and Charybdis, and I think the Smurf.
Thank you. And Richard,
I would like to go for the Sphinx, Medusa. The left side, if you had blood from a left side, it was a fatal poison. If you had blood from a right side, it could bring you back to life. But it doesn't say whether it's her left or your left. What if you were looking in a mirror, which you'd have to be? So, and I'll also go for the Loch Ness Monster.
Right, well, you've chalked up some good scores here, but you can all score some more bonus points if any of the answers in Arthur Smith's envelope match any of yours. So, Arthur, please let us know. What are your top three mythological beasts?
I've gone for King Kong, the Siren, and then finally I had that dog in Tom and Jerry, the really violent dog.
Spike.
Spike, terrifying creature. I feel much worse than all the other ones that were mentioned. So I'm afraid no one got any points.
So at the end of round one, still in the traps, are Arthur Smith in fourth place and Russell Howard and Natalie Haynes in joint second. But hot on the heels of that elusive rabbit, it's Richard Herring. Okay, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. So, Arthur Smith, you're up first. Your either or is this, extra arm or extra leg?
I think I'm going to go for extra leg, because it's interesting, where the arm joins the body, you get an armpit. So I've got two armpits, but I mean, who wants three armpits?
You're going to have 3 points for that, I think. Russell, then, here's your either or. The Magnificent Seven or The Dirty Dozen?
I haven't seen either film, so I'd probably go for Weekend at Bernie's 2. which is a belter. But I always tend to select magnificence over dirtiness, so...
That's good logic, and I'll give you 2 for Weekend at Bernie's 2. Okay, Natalie Haynes, your either or is reincarnation or reanimation?
I like the thought of reincarnation, but I don't think overall that reincarnation has contributed quite so well to the low budget horror genre. Zombies better than karma. As far as the horror film phenomenon goes. So I'm going with reanimation.
Fair enough. 3 for that, I think. Richard Herring, finally. iPod or iClaudius?
What kind of choice is that? The question's always going to be funnier than anything I can say. You're sitting there looking very smug. You're turning into Nigel Reese, you are. You might as well ask me, what do you want, eye candy or Ayatollah Khomeini? It's not even as good as that. You might as well, do you prefer nostrils or melancholy? It doesn't mean...
Now, I'll tell you, Andrew Collins, I prefer Ayatollah Khomeini, nostrils and iPod. So, bad luck.
Richard, you will have no points.
I never win. Just because I insulted him.
I got an iPod and iClaudius for Christmas, so there is a link between the two things, you see. Well, I'm afraid we're going to add those points, or lack of points, onto our scoreboard and move straight onto our second top three. Russell Howard, you are sitting this one out. Please sit back as we hammer out the top three sidekicks. We'll start with you, please, Arthur Smith. Your favourite sidekicks?
Nigel Rees. Who, to my mind, is a sort of sidekick to Nicholas Parsons.
Right.
Oh, dear, I've just summoned up the image of the two of them. Tonto. You remember him? Yeah. Lone Ranger and Tonto. There were so many jokes about Tonto. He's a kind of downtrodden existential figure. You know. And yet he somehow triumphed in my book, like Tom the Cabin Boy, you know, in Captain Pugwash, who was the only one who was remotely normal. And you were meant to identify with him. But I always preferred Blackbeard myself. Tom the Cabin Boy, I thought he was a little bit of a prat. Nevertheless...
It's good to get fired up about these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Tonto's good. There's a great Gary Larson cartoon of an aged Lone Ranger getting an Indian dictionary and looking up Kemosabe and finding it means the horse's rear end. It's quite nice. But
Richard Herring, sidekicks. I mean, you've been a sidekick,
I would say Stuart Lee was the sidekick. That's Sid Little, in a similar theme, because is it more impressive to do an impression of Deputy Dog or to sort of not really do anything but make a good living just by saying, yes, Eddie, that's right, Eddie, what do you mean, Eddie, please elaborate, Eddie. I think that's quite impressive, so I like Sid Little. I like the two blokes who always used to stand at the back in East 17 doing that. They're quite visual, but everyone knows what I mean at home.
If that visual joke stays in, I'll give you 2 points for it.
It definitely will. It's the beauty of radio, is that you can imagine what the person's... You know, if you don't know who E17 are and don't know those, but you could be imagining anything. I could be doing that. See? Now, the wonder of imagining the audience at home are trying to work out what... I wonder what he did. And now, one bloke's thinking he did that, but it's not...
Now they could guess what that was.
They did. I do actually, I like Little Cook from Big Cook, Little Cook.
Now what is that?
It's a children's television show. Essentially he's a 6-inch cook. I said cook, Andrew, it's fine. Who stands on a table while Big Cook's normal size, right. But he's a really bad actor. He's really terrible. Whereas Little Cook's okay. You'd think it'd be easier to get a good actor as Big Cook. Because it must be really hard to find someone 6 inches tall who can also do all the acting and stuff.
And
you'd think, which makes me wonder if Little Cook is actually normal size and Big Cook is like a giant and they've scaled everything up. I don't know.
Ballamore, I met PC Plum, is it, from Ballamore? Yeah. What a splendid fellow he is. I spent an excellent afternoon with PC Plum in Tunbridge.
Was he in character all the time, or did he?
Yeah, he's always PC Plum.
Yeah.
Natalie Haynes, any sidekicks you'd like to share with the world?
Penfold. Good. Danger Mouse, of course, partly for making crumbs an acceptable expletive, for making shush a good thing to say all the time. I love Danger Mouse. I own a cell of it. My boyfriend bought it me for our first Christmas present.
What
and
a
then
rubbish.
This year, right.
Why did you do that?
Well, you won a piece of film from Danger Mouse.
Yeah, it was the best. But then this Christmas he got me a signed photograph of Dick Van Dyke and Diagnosis Murder. Anyway, that's my next sidekick, which is Barry Van Dyke playing Detective Steve Sloan to Dick Van Dyke's character in Diagnosis Murder.
And is he related?
Of course he's related. Everybody in Diagnosis Murder is related to Dick Van Dyke. The record, I think, for one episode is 6 Van Dykes. That's enough for a musical. They solve a crime every day, and usually a murder, obviously, sometimes a robbery. And it doesn't matter who the criminal is. Even if it's a little old lady, Barry Van Dyke will rugby tackle her.
Well, that's your lot, so please give me your final top three, starting with you, Natalie Haynes.
I am having Barry Van Dyke, Penfold, and, Ginger Rogers.
Richard Herring, your top three sidekicks, please.
Little Cook. And the two blokes who stood in the back and did that in East 17.
Arthur Smith, your top three sidekicks, please.
Man Friday, Tonto, and PC Plum.
Okay. Let's see if any of you get any additional points as we hear the envelope being opened by Russell Howard.
Number one, DJ Jazzy Jeff. Number two, Penfold. And number three, Snarf.
Who?
It was sort of like a scrotum on tail.
at the end of Thundercats, and he kind of...
We should always, you know, check before we cross the road.
So then, from that, one extra point there to Natalie for matching up with Russell for saying Penfold. Russell, you get a point too. And that means at the end of this round, in fourth place, still Arthur Smith. In second place, Russell. But in joint first place, we now have Natalie Haynes and Richard Herring. Okay, time for another quickfire round, and this time it's simply the best, where we get the audience involved. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down now your favourite way of taking coffee, please. Now, as the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite way of taking their coffee was, and our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. So, Arthur, what have you got? White, no sugar.
Am I meant to say anything about that?
You can, no, that's your choice, and we'll go to Russell Howard.
White, no sugar.
White, no sugar. Richard Herring.
I've got skinny latte with caramel syrup, which I think will probably be the popular choice.
And finally, Natalie Haynes.
I don't drink anything hot. I don't drink tea either. I should probably get my passport taken off me. I don't do anything British. I am sorry.
Okay, thank you very much. Well, from these results, I can now reveal in third place, with 17% of the vote from the audience, we have white, one sugar, with 20% of the vote, don't drink coffee. And at the top of the tree, 40% of this audience said white, no sugar. So that's 5 points to Arthur Smith and 5 points to Russell Howard. So thank you for all your help, audience. On to our next top three. And this time it's your top three subjects at school. Natalie Haynes, you're sitting this one out. So what do you think, Russell Howard?
I liked maths. We had a teacher called Mr. Winter who had a comb over. And the aim was to get him so furious that his hair would flap over. You know when you're not allowed to laugh, but all you can think about doing is laughing? It's like, you know when you see an old lady get hit by a Frisbee? It's that kind of... I hated RE at school. Hated RE. We had, just, you know, like when you're 11, you've got to learn about dying and stuff. And I had to do lines once because we had to draw a picture of Jesus. And I was really obsessed with motorbikes at the time. So I did him on a motorbike. I had to write, like, I will never draw Jesus on a motorbike. Yeah. I liked English as well. We had a fantastic, amazing teacher called Mrs. Whale, who's brilliant, always pregnant, and wore maternity dresses even though she wasn't pregnant, because she knew that she'd get pregnant. Just, and, you know, I wasn't very good at school, and then she kind of got me into sort of English and war poetry and stuff like that, so she was fantastic, really lovely.
That was heartfelt.
Yeah, well, she's just you know when a teacher's, like, properly amazing, and you sort of think, oh, I won't stab him with a compass, I'll listen.
Russell, I'm going to give you 3 points for being so heartfelt about Mrs. Whale.
Oh, thanks.
It was a tender moment, hey, I think, you know.
I saw a dog.
Let us hear from Richard Herring.
I liked biology. We had this really lovely teacher called Miss Button, who was a bit meek, and I was so badly behaved. And we, every time she said mitosis, we would all go, "You're what?" I'd like to apologise to her for I'll get some points. I'm really sorry, Miss Button.
Arthur, school.
You want heartfelt, I've got heartfelt. Miss Logan, who taught me PE when I was about, I don't know, 7 or 8, and you had to take your shorts off and sort of get mince around the school hall on the first floor. Well, you know, run around or whatever the hell you're doing at that age. And we kicked our shorts off. One boy kicked his shorts off and they flew out the window. Which we all thought was the funniest thing ever. And the little boy was deeply upset, and Miss Logan said, "Stop crying, stop crying. Right, all you boys, throw your shorts out the window." Which was the greatest thing you could ever do at that. Imagine that. It must have been raining shorts. Below, and I think Miss Logan, there you are, for Miss Logan.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Like Dead Poets Society. You
can have 4 points for that.
Monsieur Briquet taught us French, and he was a proper Frenchman. You know, I didn't really think they existed. You know, but Monsieur Briquet clearly was a Frenchman because he had cologne and wore coloured socks. Which was the most sophisticated thing I'd ever seen. And art, because you could just doss around and make a mess.
5 points. Yeah, art was my favourite.
Obvious.
It's the only thing I could do.
Because, like, the art teacher, I mean, there's always those overtones of Miss Jean Brodie, or, like, the art teacher's clearly going to be a bit racy. Yeah. Not like the maths teacher or something, you know.
You
the art
that,
teacher's probably, like, homosexual or you know, knows naked women or,
yeah,
you know, really incredible stuff.
Mr. Motton wasn't like that. He was a nice fellow, but he had a big ginger beard, he didn't he? Wasn't he?
All right, Mr. Motton. We've never met, you sound great.
He was great.
He used to dress as Lamb.
I'm going to take one of your points off for that, Arthur. Only 3 points to Arthur for Miss Logan's story, but thanks to all of you for sharing. So let's see if there's any more points up for grabs. Let's get your top threes then. We'll start with Richard Herring.
Biology for Miss Button, sorry, Miss Button. PE, just because of the elaborate ways we all try to avoid having a shower afterwards, even if...
Yeah. Why did you want to avoid it?
I don't know, I don't understand. We literally mud all over you.
Did you, Russell, when you were at school?
I used to take a shower at the end of maths.
Did you finish all
this? I didn't. I'll go for a tutorial because I sat behind Joanne Thompson. She had really nice legs that she kept crossing and uncrossing, and that's all I can remember about school.
Arthur, what are your top three?
Well, PE, Miss Logan, art, and French for the funny socks.
And Russell?
Maths, science, and English.
Right, let's see if there's any more points up for grabs. Natalie Haynes, please tell us, what are your top three subjects at school?
Latin.
Mm. Gosh.
Because I used to teach it, there's no need to be rude. Greek, because I used to teach that as well. And maths. I would like to point out, however, I had no friends until I was 30. So.
Okay, so that's one match up then with Russell Howard. A point for you, and a point for you, Natalie. So with almost no distance left to run at the end of the round, we're left with, in joint last place, we have Natalie Haynes and Richard Herring.
Howard.
Moving up to second, Russell Howard. And in first place,
what?
Arthur Smith. Okay, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win? A series of hypothetical bouts of anything from table football to musical chairs. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Arthur Smith, who would win in a game of Risk? Napoleon or Stalin?
Stalin, because Napoleon would be too small to reach up to the table.
1 point. Russell Howard, who would win a tag wrestling match? Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or Superman and Clark Kent?
Is it WWF? Is it WCW? Is it a Rumble? Is it a SmackDown? What are we dealing with here?
It's a SmackDown.
Oh, it's a SmackDown?
Oh, yes.
Right. It'd be fairly even until about round six. Have his potion, and then he turn into Mr. Hyde, and then it really begins to happen. Banners go up, people start cheering, children get slung into the ring. And then Superman would hear something, he'd go and rescue a bus that was hanging perilously off a cliff, and Hyde would win and probably eat the ref.
2 points for brevity. Natalie Haynes, who would win in a custody battle, birds or ambrosia?
Ambrosia, I think, should win, because it is the nectar of the gods, isn't it? But birds, quite frightening, as in the film The Birds. So I think, overall, the birds would take the ambrosia.
3 points for that. Finally, Richard Herring, who would win a spelling bee, Sting or Buzz Lightyear?
Once again, a funny question. To be honest, no realistic answer. Sting's real name is Gordon Sumner, which shows that he couldn't even spell summer correctly. So I think for that reason, Buzz Lightyear.
Right, you can have 1 point for that. We'll add that point to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out. The rest of you are after your top three footballers that even people who don't like football have heard of. Natalie Haynes, please start us off.
Well, there's a problem here, which is that I can only talk about football on the radio if Nick Hornby comes on and talks about chess. I've no idea. David Beckham, my friend, wrote a book on him. I've heard of him.
That's a good start. The most famous footballer in the world, some
is
would
he?
Say.
Yeah. I still don't care, though.
Does anyone care about David Beckham on the table here?
I used to go out with him for a bit.
Arthur, do you have any great love of football that you'd like to share?
I asked my mother, who knows nothing about football, and she said, Bobby Charlton, Dixie Dean... And W.F. Simpson of the 1899 Corinthians side. She's quite old.
Yeah. Garincha is probably my favourite footballer of all time.
Yeah, he didn't have a disease, didn't he? He had no legs or something.
No, he did have legs. No. He was born with one leg shorter than the other, and the doctor said, you'll never walk. But he went on to be one of the most fantastic wingers. He smoked 40 cigarettes a day. There's a photo of him, and he's just beaten a defender, and he has a cigarette hanging out of his mouth.
But the thing is, you've misunderstood the nature of the question. You're meant to be saying ones that everyone's heard of.
Yeah, I'm telling these are people you should know, rather than like George Best or Beckham. These are really interesting.
So you've invented a new category.
Absolutely. Okay. Ronaldo used to eat rats in the favelas. That's a true story.
Charlton, the night that England won the World Cup, he got pissed and he failed to make it back to the hotel and ended up just on a mate's floor.
Excellent.
Imagine that, after winning the World Cup.
That was before futons and all.
Natalie, have you heard of any of the footballs?
No, I haven't heard of any of them, but I quite like the one with different length legs, and in my head, he's now playing on only wonky pitches.
Pele, I'm surprised no one's mentioned him.
Yeah,
Maradona.
Yeah.
Pele did the adverts for erectile dysfunction as well.
He did.
So that's a low moment. He, you know, one of his, can you imagine the conversation between Pele and his agent that day? Yeah. What have you got for me? Oh, Pele. Am I doing keepy-ups in American art?
No. Well, he's kind of doing keepy-ups, isn't he?
Rooney, he should get a mention. I mean, everyone's heard of Rooney now. Rooney sort of, you know, he doesn't, obviously, but he might get the bus to the ground.
Absolutely.
With the supporters.
Yeah. I get the impression he's never eaten anything other than a Findus Crispy pancake.
This is not a man with a love of white wine.
No. White lightning, sometimes.
Well, that's your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top threes, please, starting with Russell Howard?
Garrincha, Maradona and Pele.
And Arthur Smith, what have you got?
I did Bobby Charlton, Dixie Dean, and I did actually write Rooney here.
Rooney, thank you. Natalie Haynes, your top three, please.
David Beckham and George Best and, Maradona.
Right, well, as they used to say about Robbie Coltrane's rocking horse, there's a lot riding on this. So, Richard Herring, please open your envelope and let us know what are your top three footballers that even people who don't like football have heard of.
Billy the Fish, Pele, and George Best, who, you know, sadly we lost last year. Due to his own fault.
It was slightly ironic that he died on the day that 24-hour drinking began.
Well.